day is found in the 18th and the 19th chapters of the book of Genesis. We left off speaking to you last week how that Abraham stood before the Lord and how that he interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. I spake to you that it was better that we had 20 of such persons in a nation than to have an army and a navy very strong to fight against our enemies. With such we may triumph, because they have access to God, they have nearness to God, and God listens to their prayers. We find Abraham interceding then and pleading that if there were 50, would God spare it? And he consented that if there were 50 righteous in this city, then he would not destroy it. And then we find Abraham speaking again and saying, I have undertaken to speak unto the Lord, who am but dust and ashes. If there but lack 5 of the 50, wilt thou destroy the city? And the Lord said, no. If there were 45 righteous in the city, then he would not destroy it. And we find Abraham here speaking in great humility unto God. Behold, he says, I am but dust and ashes. Oh, my hearers, what a mercy when God gives us to come to him, and that we may find access to him and speak to him. This is what Abraham had. Abraham had faith in exercise. He had boldness. He had liberty. He came to God. But when he came, he felt in his own self what he was, that he was but dust and ashes, that he was like the ground, worthy to be trampled upon, worthy that God would never listen to him. Oh, what a blessed frame to be in, my hearers. Have you ever stood before the Lord like this? Have you ever felt yourself to be but dust and ashes before this great and this glorious and divine being? Oh, when he gives us access, when he gives us nearness, when we are allowed to speak to him like a little child, then we feel how mean, how despicable we are. Oh, we feel we are the chiefest, the greatest of sinners. Paul says in one place, although I am but nothing, and so a soul given to come near to God feels itself to be the least of the least. Oh, what a blessing. If we only had this every day in our life, oh, how godlike we would be, how we would reveal more of his image and show more forth his goodness and kindness towards us in this life. Oh, may God bless you and I with such nearness to himself that we may feel that we are the least of the least. Most of the time we are not there. Most of the time we think we're better than somebody else. We all have good and high and lofty thoughts about ourselves and mean thoughts of others. But when God comes, my hearers, then we are upright, then we are honest, then we are sincere, then we are what we are, for God makes us so. Oh, may we all be given to pray that God would keep us humble, meek, and lowly before him. This is the way Abraham was when he stood before the Lord and he pleaded with God. He continued to plead until he came to where he asked that if there were 10 righteous left in the city, would God yet destroy it? And God said no, that if there were yet 10, then he would not destroy these cities. Oh, what access had this man, what answers he received of God, and God was good to Abraham. I believe Abraham thought he had got within the reach of Lot's family. He had his eye upon Lot. It was his nephew, and he was pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah because he dwelt there. And now when he was given no more to plead, then God went up from him in the place where he had communed with him, and Abraham returned to his place. Oh, when God cuts off this access, this nearness that we experience sometimes, then we return likewise to our place. And where is that, my hearers? You read of the Queen of Sheba. She went up to see Solomon, and after she had seen him, oh, she was so amazed, she fell down before him. She said, half was not told her of the glory and of the majesty that she had heard of him in her own land. But then she returned to her land. So it is with Abraham. So it is with us. We return to ourselves. We get ourselves back again. And all this nearness and this access that we have experienced is taken away. Oh, we do not have this so often in life, my Hebrews. And now we find that in this chapter, the 19th chapter, we find that there came to Sodom two angels at even. And Lot, he sat in the gate of the city. And when he saw them, he rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself to the ground before them and said unto them, tarry ye in thy servant's house this night, and wash your feet, and go on your way in the morning. But they said, nay, we will tarry all night in the street. But Lot pressed greatly upon them, and then they consented to go into his house. And they went into his house, and he made a feast unto them, and they did eat unleavened bread. We have here two angels, the same two angels that had been by Abraham. The one angel had remained, as you remember, who we said was the Son of God. And now these two created angels, they came to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And these angels came as messengers of God. They were sent to destroy these cities. And now when they came, Lot, the only good man in the city, the only saint there, the only righteous person there, was sitting in the gate of the city. He didn't mingle with the inhabitants of Sodom. When it was nice in the evening, he went outside and he sat in the gate. And here he was. What a blessing it was for Lot, that he had grace, that even though he isn't such a prominent saint in the Bible, still he did not mingle with the inhabitants of Sodom. And they found him sitting in the gate. They came especially for him. But he knew not these men. They were strangers to him. But when he seen them, he ran to them and bowed down before them. He probably had never seen such honest faces as these men had. The people in Sodom were sinners. They were awful-looking characters. And these men, they were entirely different than the inhabitants of Sodom. And therefore, he invited them to stay in his house that night. And they refused at first. They did this to test him, to see if his invitation was sincere, if it was honest. And when he pressed on them greatly, because he knew the inhabitants of this city, he knew what wicked people they were, and he feared to let these two men remain in the street all night. And therefore he pressed on them greatly that they would turn into his house. And they, realizing and seeing that he was sincere in this, they went into his house, and he made them a feast. We have here then Lot too, entertaining angels unawares. The Bible teaches us that we should also have our homes open for strangers, for some of them have entertained angels unawares. So it was here, these angels, they were human beings, but they entered into Lot's house. And Lot made them a great feast. And now before they lay down to go to sleep, we find that the inhabitants of Sodom, both old and young, they came round about the house. And they called unto Lot and asked him where these two men were who had entered into his house that very night. And they said unto him that he should bring them out to them, that they may know them. We have here a mob of sinful beings, young and old, even young children, with their parents. You can imagine how great the wickedness of this city was. There didn't seem to be any magistrates. anybody to restrain them. They were just a mob of sinful beings round about this house. They were filled with fire inside, lust after strange flesh. This is what they were after. They wanted Lot to bring these two men out unto them, that they may know them. Their sin follows the name of the country or the city they dwelled in, Sodomy. We read in the book of Jude, in the 7th chapter, how that the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah were filled with fornication and went after strange flesh. And God revealed his anger by sending down fire to consume them. These people then were sinners before God in an awful manner. They declared their sin. They had no shame. No, they stood outside the door and they cried to Lot to bring their men out. Oh, when we consider, my hearers, these people in Sodom and Gomorrah, to what a height and to what a pitch of wickedness they had arrived. And all considering this, I was thinking about our blessed country, the United States of America. When I think to what pitch of wickedness that this country has arrived at, we could compare it considerable to Sodom and Gomorrah. When we consider what is going on in this blessed land at the present time, it would be enough to make each and every one of us who have a conscience and realize that there's a God that must visit for sin to be deeply humbled and cry to him to avert what we fear shall come down upon us. When we read and hear of the things that are going on in this blessed land, oh, my hearers, what are people doing? Oh, they are stealing, they are committing adultery, they are raping, they are likewise murdering people. Oh, the sins are so terrible in our times, and there is no shame. They care not about it. They declare their sin just like these people. When we consider even just today, a day upon which God commands us to keep it holy, oh, this Sabbath day, which God has separated for his worship, oh, we see it so desecrated in the times in which we live. Oh, they declare their sin like Sodom. Nobody has any shame anymore. Big signs open on Sunday, giving the hours, people buying, people selling. And all my hearers, how many, oh, there are that care not about God or about his word. They live for themselves. They have a saying, a happy weekend. Have a nice weekend. This is what they say to you when you leave your place of employment. What do they mean by that? Enjoy yourself in the pleasures of this world and in the flesh. This is what's going on. People are using this day for their own pleasure, for things to do around the house. They haven't got time all week to do it. So many of the parents, they both work together, and then on this day, they do all their housework, they do their wash, they do everything that they possibly can so that they continue to work again. Oh, we think so often of other people who we think should know better and should do better. Those that have a form of religion, those that go to church once on Sunday, you find them likewise desecrating this day. They go out to visit each other. They use the day for their own pleasure. They've been to church, and that's sufficient to them. Oh, my hearers, how terrible it is in the times in which we live. We have in this great country people rioting, people shooting each other, people standing up against the government and against those that are trying to keep peace in the land. And we find even our rulers and those that govern us going along with such things, permitting these things to take place. And those that would stop and use the law, they are prohibited even by our rulers and governors. Oh, to what a pitch of wickedness, my hearers. Am I picturing it too black? I think not. I think this is the truth. And can you realize yourself, where are we heading to? What will become of us as a nation? You that have a conscience, you that have a little more intelligence than some others, do you not see that if this continues on, that God likewise must visit us as a nation? We fear his judgments. We fear that he will come in due time, for he is a God that must punish sin, and sin is predominant in the times in which we live. Oh, we pray it is true, and I hope that God may hear our feeble prayers, that as we hear and read of all these things taking place in our blessed country, that there may be a blessed change. Oh, that young and old may be wrought upon, and that we may hear and see, even amongst each other, that God is beginning a good work of grace in many a person's hearts, and that people become serious and concerned about eternity and about meeting God. This is so lacking in the times in which we live. Oh, this blessed country, which has been so richly blessed above every other nation in the world, is showing in its actions that it is sinning and not satisfied with what God is doing. Oh, there are so many too, I was thinking. They stand up against the government. They make exorbitant demands that even those who are good citizens, they receive nothing else but anger and ire within when they hear the things that they demand. This is going on in this country, my hearers. Oh, that God would bring a blessed change. Things like this were going on in Sodom. Oh, to what a pitch of wickedness they had been left over to, and here they were round about the house of Lot. And Lot, he came out, and he shut the door behind him, and he spoke unto them and said unto them, brethren, do not so wickedly. Oh, what a mercy it was that there was a man like this yet, although they did not listen to him. They didn't give heed to what he said. No, they likewise were so inflamed by their lust and by their passions that they cared not about Lot. Lot, he spoke unto them unadvisedly. He said, listen, I have two daughters. They have never known man. I'll bring them out to you. You can do to them what you want to do. But these two men that are in my house, touch them not. You know, it's a rule in the East. If persons that are strangers are invited to stay overnight in one of their homes, they are to defend these strangers with their life. If anybody comes in to do them harm, they are to stand before those that would do them harm. And this is what Lot was doing. As a person that showed kindness and hospitality to these strangers, he likewise went out and spake to them. But he never should have said this. We cannot put this on its legs, that a saint of God would come out and offer his two daughters to such a mob of people as they were. But maybe he knew not what he said. He didn't know what to say. He was so disturbed, probably. But he should have went out and admonished them, and if they did not listen, he should have went back into the house and give it over unto God, that God would protect them. But he spake to them in this way. But they became more enraged. They did not want his daughters. They wanted these two men. And rather, because he would not let them take these two men, they said, well, then we'll use you. We'll abuse you. We'll take you and use you as we're going to do to these two men. We'll even use you worse than them. And Lot was in a very dangerous position for himself with all these creatures round about him and all trying to get to the door. And they backed him up to the door. And when he got to the door, we find that these two angels that were inside opened the door. And they pulled Lot inside of the house and they shut the door behind him. And what did they do? They smote these men with blindness outside of the door. They exerted their power upon these creatures and they could not find the door. They wearied themselves in seeking to find the door. This is what these angels did. And Lot was very fortunate that there were two angels inside of his house and that they pulled him in. Or otherwise he probably would have been abused very greatly by this mob of people that were outside of the door. And now after they had taken him in, and these men outside of the door wearied themselves because they fell all over themselves, they couldn't find the door anymore, and they gave up trying to find the door, and they must have dispersed themselves. And then they said unto Lot, Lot, have you got any sons-in-laws, any daughters in the city? Go to them and tell them to flee out of the city because God has sent us to destroy this city. And now we find that Lot, he went out in the middle of the night. After this mob had been gone, he went to his sons-in-laws who were married to his daughters. The commentary don't agree with this. They say that these men were only engaged to his daughters, but the Bible says that they were married to his daughters. And he went to their houses. In all probabilities, they were asleep. And he knocked on the door and he woke them up. And he said unto them, get out of this city. Hurry, get everything together what you have, because God is going to destroy this city. There's two men come to me, angels, and they told me to come to thee and warn thee about this. They've been sent here by God, and they're going to destroy the city. They looked at him. What's the matter with this man, they thought? Is he touched in his head? Is there something the matter with him? This is the way they received the message that he brought unto them. They mocked with him. They laughed at it. They didn't believe it. They didn't receive it. They had no faith. And they probably said to him, well, you better go home and go to bed, because they thought there was something wrong with his mind. He couldn't get anywhere with his sons-in-laws and probably with his daughters either. My hearers, this man Lot, he's the type of one that brings the message of the gospel. You have been listening to God's servants all your life. You have been warned, you have been admonished in faithfulness and in love that you should not remain in your sins, that you should arise, and that you should haste for your life's sake. They have pleaded with you out of the word of God, have proven unto you that God has no delight in your death, in your destruction, but therein that you turn and live. How have you received the message? Most of the time it's received just like these sons-in-laws of Lot. You don't believe it. You have no faith to receive it. In all probabilities, you may be at times even serious, and you may even be concerned while the message is being brought in faithfulness and in all sincerity to you, but soon, while you laugh it off, you forget all about it. It has no effect upon you. It leaves you the way you are. This is the way the gospel is received by multitudes of people who sit under it. They do not receive it as a message of God. All my hearers, I wish I could be a messenger of God to you this very day. I am like John. He was in the wilderness, a voice crying in the wilderness, and so is my voice crying in the wilderness of this world, that to you, repent ye, for wherefore will ye die? Oh, God has no delight in your destruction, but therein that you turn to him and seek him. And it may be you say, well, I can't repent. It's impossible for me to repent. I know that. But there is one that's exalted at the right hand of God, who has been given all power, and who has the prerogative to give repentance and remission of sins. Oh, turn to him and seek him yet. Oh, you are still alive. You're still in the land of the living. You know not how soon death may come and overtake you. And then what? Then it will be as it was with the Sodomites. Oh, then you will be banished from the presence of God to all eternity. Oh, may you seek the Lord yet while he is yet to be found. Oh, he is a gracious and a merciful God. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. These people, Lot's children, his sons-in-laws, they gave no heed to him. He returned back to his home. And when he came back to his home, then the angels, they spake unto Lot and said, up, arise, get what you can and get out of this city, for we are going to destroy it. And now when Lot lingered, then the angels hastened him. What did they do? They went around his house and asked him what he was going to take, what he needed. They put it all probably in a bag. And they hasted him because Lot, he lingered, it says. He had no desire to leave Sodom. He was attached to his house, attached to the money, to the business that he had going on in this place. And he wasn't so hasty in going away. It wasn't that he mocked it. It wasn't that he didn't believe it. But he lingered. He trifled with it. And my hearers, the angels, they took hold of Lot. They took him by the hand. They took his wife by the hand. They took his daughters by the hand. And they led them out of the city, God being merciful unto them. Oh, my hearers, Lot, a saint of God, after receiving such a message, still lingering. This man, Lot, he is a type likewise of every person that God has wrought upon by his Spirit and by his grace. Oh, my hearers, a Lot, he lingered. This is a type of many of you that are listening to me. Oh, you have heard the warnings. You have been admonished. You have been entreated. You have been prayed to that you would leave your sinful ways. And you know that this has come to you in love. And still you linger. Your conscience is witnessed against you. You know that you need to be changed. You know that you need to be born again. And what effort do you do to be born again? Well, you say, I can't do anything. You can't pray? Not truthfully, you say, with my heart. God doesn't ask you to pray with your heart. He knows that you cannot pray with your heart. And when you know this, then you can ask him to give you to pray with your heart. The Lord is able to do all things for us. And now, these Lot and his wife and his two daughters, they were attached to Sodom. Lot's wife and his two daughters, they didn't have no grace. They probably were speaking to Lot, don't believe it. Let's stay and see if it's going to be true or not. And Lot may believe likewise, having so much carnality and so much love to the things of this world, he lingered. But what happened? The angels took him by the hand. This is what God does. Ah, so many of us, We've been conscience stricken. We've been brought upon by God's Spirit in this way. And now we have put it away, put it off. Oh, why be converted at this time? We're so young, and then we have to give up so much in this life. And oh, we love the things of this world, and we are, just as the minister said last Sunday, we are of two opinions. On one side, we love the world. On the other side, we would like to be children of God. And we linger. And believe me, we would linger to our ruin, to our death and destruction, if it was not that God took us by the hand and led us out of Sodom, led us out of the world, led us out of our sins. This is how we love sin. Oh, we would stay in it. We would perish in it. But God has a purpose of love, of grace, of mercy to his dear children, and he takes them by the hand and he leads them out. Oh, if he didn't lead us out, my hearers, we surely would perish with the rest of the world. It's by grace and grace only if a person is led out of this world. Lot and his daughters and his wife were dealt very mercifully with by God himself. And so it has been with some of us. Haven't you experienced it, some of you that are listening to me? Has it not been a wonder to you, as it must have been later on to Lot, that he, of all the inhabitants in that city, was the only one that was let out? Oh, what a good God we have to do with. That he knows his people, and he knows where they are, and he leads them out in due time. Lot then was let out of the city. And when he got out of the city, we find that the angels spake unto him and said unto him that he should flee and that he should haste for his life and that he should not remain in the plain, but that he should go to the mountain. And this is what God does to his dear children when he has led them out by the hand and brought them out of the world. Then they are not to linger, they are not to remain, they are not to turn back. Just as the angel said, look not back, but haste for your life's sake, that ye be not consumed in the iniquity of the city. Flee ye to the mountain. So God speaks to his dear children. They likewise are told to haste for their life's sake. You read of Bunyan when he was wrought upon by the Spirit of God. He put his fingers in his ears, and he ran away from the city of destruction. Life, life, he said, because death and destruction was behind him. And so it was with Lot and his wife and his daughters. Death and destruction was to follow, and they were warned and mercifully told to flee and not to look back. And we find that Lot, he did not like to go to this mountain. He should have listened to the divine direction. But he pleaded with the angel and said, oh, I am afraid that if I go to this mountain, my soul shall not live. I will be killed. Oh, won't you spare this little city which is nearby? It's only a little one. And we find that the angel consented unto the request of Lot, that they would not destroy this one of the cities of the five that were on this plain. It was called Bela, but now the name of it was changed to Zoar. Lot then pleaded that he and his family might be given to enter into this city. He did not plead like Abraham. Abraham pleaded for the righteous that were in the city, but Lot, he only pleaded for self-preservation. He didn't want to go up on the mountain. He thought that some evil would befall him and that he would be killed. And therefore, he desired to go into this city, which was only a small city and probably had not too many